I'm Norman Gilliland, once again in our Buck studio here at WPR, which means live music. And hello, Jennifer.
Hi.
Jennifer DeRoche is going to be performing in our studio for us today, and she has her handsome instrument here that we're going to hear more about, her harp, by and by. But she's a performer often with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra. You might see her at concerts on the square performing for audiences of thousands, and you'll see her occasionally in a Masterworks concert, and she teaches in the Madison-Middleton area. Did I leave anything out?
No, you're all good.
Okay, well, Wisconsin Public Radio. She performs on Wisconsin Public Radio, too. Looking forward to that.
Well, thank you for having me.
And so, let's get right into this, as long as I'm looking at it, and harps are such imposing instruments, you know, they're what, almost, it's got to be about 6 feet tall?
Yeah, it's a little over 6 feet.
And beautifully wrought and all of that. And so how does one actually become a harpist? Because it's not the kind of thing you'd likely have at home, or did you?
No, I didn't. Actually, I was like in second or third grade, and my parents said I had to choose a second instrument. I played piano, and I did not care for the violin, was not very good at it, and saw a harp at an art fair and went with my grandma and ended up finding a teacher and finding a harp, and she took lessons with me for a few years and drove me to lessons with my mom, flip-flop back and forth. It was great. Started with a teacher in Milwaukee and been playing ever since.
Well, it looks like an unwieldy instrument for most people.
Yeah.
You know, because first of all, a harp, of course, is supposed to sound very graceful and at times elfin and all of that. And you have to carry off that impression of the music itself and, of course, the look of the player.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a large instrument, but definitely a beautiful instrument, even from the start. I'll have some young students whose parents are like, oh, it's great to hear them practicing the harp versus, like, you know, beginning oboe or something.
Yes, or timpani or bagpipes.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So there are composers who are known for writing music for the harp in particular, Adolf Hasselmann's being one of them.
Yeah, definitely. He was a composer back in the 1800s, and he's actually a composer that many people say is like the father of a lot of famous harpists. He's taught many of the famous harpists that we still play repertoire from. So he's a big teacher.
And a provider of repertory. And he has, by the title of it, it looks like this piece has, it's a caprice, and it looks like it has a gypsy flair to it.
Yeah, a gypsy flair. It's got a fun dance melody that comes in and out throughout the piece.
And the harp is not an instrument we'd ordinarily associate with gypsies, more with, you know, angelic things.
Yeah, definitely.
Than the more earthly. But what does it sound like, this caprice?
Well, I'll play it for you, and you'll hear. It's a very Spanish dancing flair. It's very fun. I really enjoy this piece.
Caprice, Gitana by Hasselmann. Thank you. Gitana by Alphonse Hasselmans, with lots of decay at the end of that from the harp, as played by my guest today here in our Buck studio, Jennifer DeRoche, and some nice bell tones you were required to bring out there often in that
yeah.
piece.
Yeah, there were lots of harmonics all over the place.
And now you, of course, perform in orchestral contexts as a harpist from time to time. Do you ever kind of wonder if people can hear you?
I mean, sometimes.
Is there a harp in the 1812 overture? I can't remember.
But no, there's not.
And some other things that are equally large.
Yeah, so there are some large works that require a harp. As a harpist in an orchestra, you often have to play powerfully and make sure that you can be heard, right? So it's all about coming through the orchestra and figuring out a way to cut through the orchestra when you've acquired an instrument.
Sometimes they give you a little window, though, right, where it's just harp?
Yeah, often. Most composers are a little bit nice to the harp, and it's, you know, harp and flute or harp and a few other instruments, harp over a small string group.
Nice idea. By the way, we're going to have our quiz question, our 12:30 quiz question, rather late today to accommodate a full-length suite that Jenny's going to be playing. So it's going to be closer to 12:40. A pretty easy quiz question, I would say, too, about an American, well, American now, entrepreneur. And so bear with us for that, a worthy cause to hear an entire suite, but Jenny will be setting up the movements in singly or in pairs. And this suite has a rather unusual, you might even say ungainly, name.
Yeah, so this suite is called Ganagobi.
Of course. And Ganagobi is?
Ganagobi is a small town in France.
And this is a place familiar to the composer?
Actually, I was trying to figure out how the composer came across this piece, and it seems like it maybe was a place that he visited for a short amount of time, but I couldn't find the historical context, the reasoning why.
Well, doesn't matter too much.
No.
I guess it's up to us to kind of conjure whatever images we want. And so how does it begin?
It starts off with Monastery on the Hill is the first movement, and the small town Ganagobi, there's this giant monastery on top of a hill, and it's kind of the focal point of the town. It overlooks the whole village. So
Jenny will be setting up each of these movements or set of movements henceforth, getting us to about 12:40 or so in our quiz question. Ganagobi.
Thank you. Thank you. That was just the first movement of this suite called Ganagobi by Bernard Andres. The second movement, which you're about to hear, is Ataka into the third movement. So the second movement is called the Stony Portal, and I believe it's representing the introduction into the monastery, which is that focal point from that first movement. And then it has a short intro and goes into a fun melody. Right after that, it goes straight into the third movement, which is called The Old Monk, which has a fun melody that modulates over and over again and slightly changes. And so here's the second and the third movement. Thank you. So it's just the second and the third movement of the suite by Bernard Andres called Ganagobi. The fourth movement is about a series of mosaics that is inside of the monastery. And so it's got a bunch of funky rhythms and, again, has a similar melody that's modulating across. And then it goes straight into the fifth movement. And our fifth movement is called Underneath the Green Oak Trees. And on the bottom of the hill in Ganagobi, there are a bunch of beautiful, very old oak trees that there's this beautiful theme that he fits to it that kind of sounds like wind moving throughout the trees. So here is the fourth and the fifth movement of Ganagobi. Thank you.
The name of the suite, Kanagobe, and it's for solo harp, as you heard, and it's by Bernard Andre, and it was performed during the midday today, live in our Buck studio, by my guest, Jennifer DeRoche. And now, back to the sound of the harp, and one final piece, this one by another of those composers associated with the instrument.
Yep, yeah, only associated with harp. He actually, I believe, wrote two operas as well.
Really?
Yeah. But
they had harps in the orchestra, though.
I hope so. But he was not really well known for his operas. It was more his whole solo harp pieces.
It's a thankless job, usually, writing opera, let me tell you. Not that I have personally, but I've run across a lot of composers who have, and they're not known for those operas. But this little piece is an Etude de Concert, and the composer's name is Félix Godefroid. Another of those third of our French composers for the day.
Yeah, third French harp composer.
An etude means a study, literally. And so what would this be a study in, Jenny?
This is a lot of harmonics and a lot of right-hand crossovers. So you'll see me moving my fingers pretty fast with my right hand.
All right, here we go. Thank you. nice, almost growling finale there, and those low notes of the harp in that Etude de Concert by Félix Godefroy is played by my guest today, Jennifer DeRoche.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure to have you here on the Midday playing live. She plays often with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra and performs and teaches around the Madison-Middleton area and also teaches with the Wisconsin Youth Symphony Orchestras.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
So look forward to hearing you out and about. Thanks to our engineers, Tom Blaine and Nigel O'Shea, and thanks also to Ruth Ann Bessman.